Okay, without further ado, I just want to honour one more mum. And it's a privilege to have her daughter speak with us this morning. But Janice Hendry, I just want to say that you're an amazing woman. You are. You're an amazing mother. And your daughter, who works beside me, has been a rock. And into this church, she's been a great pastor and a great leader. And she's always remained faithful and pure. And I believe that's because of you, of your mother heart. So thank you. Without further ado, put your hand together. Chrissy!
Didn't have you where I come from. Never knew the best was yet to come. Life began when I saw your face.
Thank you so much for being like the best mom in the world, and I love you and appreciate you.
And I hear your laugh like a serenade.
Happy Mother's Day, Mum. I hope you have a great day. Thanks for all that you do for me. I love you.
For the church, for our family. Even though I'm still married, you still pay for my food, you still pay for my clothes, you let me have dinner, you let me borrow your things, and I love you so much.
Love you, Mum, so much. Have an awesome day.
I slip in bed when you're asleep, to hold you close and feel your breath on me.
Hey Mum, happy Mother's Day. You're amazing. I love you.
Tomorrow there'll be so much to do. So tonight I'll drift in a dream with you. Forever enough is forever enough.
Happy Mother's Day. We love you. We love you. Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day, Dad. You couldn't have done it without me. I love you, Mum. Have a great day. Happy Mother's Day.
Hey, Mum, just want to wish you a very happy Mother's Day. Hope you have a great day. And to all mums out there, thanks so much for all you've done, and we hope you have a great day.
Hey, Mum, just wanted to say happy Mother's Day, and I love you.
Hey, Sal, happy Mother's Day. I just want to say thank you for all your support over the years.
How beautiful was that? We wanted to keep the kids in for that video so they could see it, but you can go now, kids, off to kids' church. The leaders will be waiting for you in the foyer. Slightly emotional, I feel. Like Kerry basically stole my thank you, Mum speech, so what he said, there you go. No, but I love you, Mum. You're the best. And, yeah, you've been an absolute inspiration in my life and strength and rock to me. And I don't know what I would do without you. So thank you. Happy Mother's Day to all the women out there, to all the mums. We want to honour you today. And also just wanted to thank Brits, especially for putting that video together. Yeah, Brits. she did a fantastic job. And all of my events team who helped put together the side stage and out in the foyer as well. You guys worked so hard and I love your creativity and it wouldn't come together without you. So thank you as well. As Pastor Kerry has already said, we just want to also acknowledge those of you here that find this day hard for lots of different reasons. And I just wanted to say, know that as your church family, we love you and we're here for you and supporting you and just walking this journey of life with you. So, yeah, prayers are with those that this day is a bit challenging for. Before I start, let's just pray, shall we? God, we just want to thank you for this day. Thank you that your mercies and your love are new every single day, God. We want to honour all the women, the mums in the room this morning. And I just ask God that as we continue this service, that they would be blessed and encouraged and really have that revelation of the mother love that you have for us, Lord Jesus. So we just pray for your blessing upon this morning and that our hearts would remain open to the words that you want to speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So for those that don't know me, my name's Chrissy Sleep. I'm a pastor here at the church and I've been here since I was like 12 or something, so a long time. And I was quite excited about putting together a Mother's Day message for you all this morning. I want to share, there's a poem by a lady named Irma Bombeck and she wrote this poem called When God Created Mothers. It's a slightly edited version, but I just want to read it to you. I thought it was quite appropriate. On the day God created mothers, he put in a lot of overtime. So much so that an angel said to him, Lord, you are spending a lot of time on this one. But the Lord turned around and said, have you read the specification on this model? She is to have a kiss that will heal everything, from a broken leg to a broken heart. She is to be able to function on coffee and tea and leftovers, and she is supposed to have 6 pairs of hands. 6 pairs of hands? That is impossible, said the angel. Yes, but it is not the 6 pairs of hands that bothers me, said the Lord. It is the 3 pairs of eyes. She is supposed to have 1 pair of eyes that sees through closed doors, so that whenever she says, what are you kids doing in there? She already knows what they're doing in there. She also has to have another pair of eyes in the back of her head to see all of the things that she is not supposed to see, but must see. And then she has 1 pair of eyes right in front that can look at a child that just messed up and communicate love and understanding without saying a word. But that's too much, said the angel. You can't put that much in 1 model. Why do you not rest for a while and resume your creating tomorrow? No, I can't, said the Lord. I am nearly finished, as I have created someone just like myself. I have created a model who can heal herself when she is sick, and feed a family of 6 with 1 pound of mince, and who can persuade a 9-year-old to take a bath. Then the angel looked at the model of motherhood a little more closely and said, oh, but she is too soft. Oh, but she is tough, said the Lord, and you'll be surprised at how much this mother can do. Can she think? Asked the angel. Yes, she can think, said the Lord. She can also reason and compromise and persuade. Then the angel reached over and touched her cheek. But this one has a leak, he said. I told you that you couldn't put that much into 1 model. That is not a leak, said the Lord. That's a tear. What's a tear for? Asked the angel. Well, a tear is for joy. It is for sadness. It is for sorrow, for disappointment, and for pride. You're a genius, said the angel. But the Lord said, I did not put that there. So I just thought that was quite a nice little summary of motherhood. I'm relatively new to this whole journey of motherhood. It's only my 2nd Mother's Day, so I feel like I've only kind of just scratched the surface of all that this journey will entail. But from what I've experienced so far and seen and heard from other mums around me, I know that motherhood is big. It's incredible, it's hard, it's rewarding, it's demanding, it's stretching and fulfilling and heartbreaking. And I know that I never knew that I could love someone this much. I've heard it said before that being a mum is like a one-way kind of love. And when I first heard that, I thought, no, that's not right. Like, I love my mum. I don't know what I'll do without her. Like, I love her so much. But then I became a mum and I kind of understood it. Because the way a mother loves her child is a completely different kind of love than that love that a child has for its mother. We've used a passage from Proverbs today in honour of all of the mums here, whether they be mums in the natural or in the spiritual. It's from Proverbs 31, verses 25 to 28, and it says, "She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed." And being from Proverbs 31, I can kind of imagine there might be a little bit of a mixed reaction from all of the women this morning. Proverbs 31, I feel like it's kind of been used as a bit of a measuring stick before. And I think there are a lot of women who maybe feel that they don't quite measure up. The Proverbs 31 woman has often been referred to as this ideal woman, this perfect woman who does everything immaculately. She's always organized and on top of things. She never lets her emotions get the better of her. She never goes for some like retail therapy, you know, when she's sad. She's the queen of frugal living. The Proverbs 31 woman was not only the perfect wife and mother, but she also had her own farm, as you do, and managed all the finances. She was generous and made things with her own hands. You know, I've heard this woman spoken of before and heard other women almost kind of scoff in jealousy, like, yeah, okay, you show me someone, you know, like that today. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm far from this woman most days, and my house gets messy, my dishes and my laundry pile up. I get angry and yell at my husband sometimes. And the closest thing I have to a farm is like a few pot plants that are dying and two dogs. And I set out to make my own pram liner about 12 months ago. It's still sitting in my spare room waiting to be sewn together. So we look at this woman in Proverbs 31, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who thinks, how on earth does she do this? Like, how? We look at this woman almost longingly, like, if I could only just be more like her. And I think many women feel they come up short in some or maybe even all of these areas. And then secretly, we think to ourselves maybe that we've failed as a wife or as a mother because we're not meeting that standard. But when I was looking for some Bible verses that could be used for Mother's Day and I read this one from Proverbs 31, I didn't feel like I was a failure. I didn't feel like I'm not doing enough. I actually felt inspired and encouraged. I felt like that was what God was saying about me. In the natural, in my flesh, I am far from that woman, believe me. But as a daughter of the Most High King, as a friend of Jesus, He makes me that woman. He equips me and guides me. He gives me wisdom and strength. And when I'm not enough, He makes me enough. So today, as we come together in fellowship, and we acknowledge the incredible women in our lives as we celebrate Mother's Day, I'd like to bring you a message entitled, "Jesus Can Do Your Dishes." In my research for this message, I came across some stories of mothers from the Bible. These women are not the Proverbs 31 woman. They make mistakes, they didn't always do things the right way, and yet in the midst of their stories, the love that they have for their children is so evident, and the work of God in their lives was made known. So the first woman I would like to look at this morning is Eve. Eve, the mother of humanity. She is usually coupled with Adam, the first humans God created, and her story can be found in Genesis 2 and 3. Eve is best known for eating the forbidden fruit, and along with Adam, bringing sin into the world. Now, I don't know about you, but I would hate to be known as a woman who brought sin into the world, but that's Eve. She is the first woman ever created. She was perfectly beautiful and was the first woman to be a wife. Eve was also the first woman that was targeted by Satan. She was the first woman to make clothing with her hands by sewing fig leaves together to cover their nakedness. Eve then had to go through childbirth and raising a child alone, with no predecessors before her. There were no midwives to offer pain relief. There were no mothers, aunts, or sister-in-laws to give wisdom and advice or bring meals to her house. She had to figure out teething and sleep patterns all by herself. But then again, she also had no one to compare to or no one to tell her she was doing it wrong. Eve was the first mother of a murderer. She was the first mother who ever had to bury her own child. Eve was the first mother of all. She was a sinner who made a mistake, but she loved her children. Eve was the start of growing the human race despite her sin. The next mother I'd like to briefly look at is Sarah, and she is the mother of Isaac, and her story can be found in Genesis chapter 15 to 19. Sarah is a woman of great patience. Up until that point, she had no more patience. She thought she was barren, and yet she was given like the ultimate promise from God that she would be a mother of many, the mother of many nations. Sarah gives hope, I think, to all of those women who maybe started a little late on that motherhood journey and they're worried about that biological clock ticking. She gives hope to those women. She waited and waited and waited, and then she waited some more. But then she thought, you know what? I can do this myself. Like, I'm just going to make this happen. So in her desperation for a child and to see God's promise come to pass, she gave her maid to her husband so that they might conceive a child. A child they had, but it wasn't the child. It wasn't the child that God promised them. So a messenger from the Lord appeared to Sarah's husband Abraham and told him again that Sarah would be the one to conceive this child. Sarah actually laughed when she heard this. She was 90 years old. So I can imagine if you were in her shoes, you'd probably laugh as well. But then Isaac was born. He was the promise fulfilled and a continuation of the covenant that God made with Abraham. Sarah is a mother with a promise from God who let impatience get the better of her. And yet God's word still came to pass in her life. Sarah is a mother whose life proves that good things come to those that wait, to those that wait for the promises of God to be fulfilled. The next mother is Rebecca, who is another woman who became a mother to twin boys, Esau and Jacob. And you can read about this family in Genesis chapter 25 to 28. Talk about wreaking havoc. This woman was crazy. She played favourites with her boys. Now, I remember I'm a family of four siblings. I'm a middle child. I'm also a twin. And I remember accusing my mum of playing favourites with my younger brother, Josiah, who is here today, is at the back. And we used to think that he got away with stuff. Any middle children think the younger children always just get away. I don't know what it is, but it's like, I would have got like busted for that. And he's just like, fine. And, you know, we used to accuse mum of playing favourites, you know. But I never actually believed, like, in my heart that mum played favourites. I knew that she didn't, that she loved us all equally. Whereas Rebecca, she goes to the absolute extreme. She has two boys, Esau and Jacob, and Esau is the firstborn, Jacob is the secondborn. And yet she tricks her dying husband into giving her favourite son, Jacob, who is the secondborn child, the birthright, the heritage, the blessing for their family. Instead of giving it to the firstborn son, Esau, she tricks him into giving it to Jacob. Out of great love and favour for her son Jacob, Rebecca schemes and manipulates to ensure that Jacob gets the best for his life. I actually really feel sorry for Esau in this scenario. Rebecca went against the family line, against her husband, and she plotted to get her way. She is a mother who reminds us how dangerous it is to use our maternal influence for manipulation. In 2 Samuel, we read about a woman named Bathsheba. She was a beautiful woman who became a mother through her affair with King David. After David saw her bathing on a rooftop, again, because that's what you do, you bathe naked on a rooftop, he was greatly tempted by her, and their affair resulted in Bathsheba giving birth to a son. King David, he tried to cover up his mistake, and he sent Bathsheba's husband to the front line of a war in the hope that he would be killed. His plan succeeded, and yet he was still found out. And God was so angry with David that this son that was born to him through Bathsheba actually died. We never really find out how this all affected Bathsheba, but we know that she had a second son with King David, and this son was named Solomon. He found favour with God. He grew up to become Israel's greatest king. Through Bathsheba's motherhood, women are given hope that no matter the circumstances of your pregnancy, no matter the circumstances of the birth of your child, God can redeem any situation for his glory. Jochebed is another remarkable woman in the Bible who did anything out of love for her children. Her story is found in Exodus 1 and 2, and she is the mother of Moses. She was actually pregnant during the time of Pharaoh killing off all the Hebrew male-born babies. Even though Pharaoh was trying to stem the growth of the Hebrew population, their numbers kept growing. They just kept multiplying, popping them out. And so Pharaoh, sorry, was that inappropriate? Pharaoh then asked the midwives, guys, what's going on? How is this happening? Like, we don't want these population to grow, and yet they're still growing. And the midwives actually told him, oh, the Hebrew women, they're so vigorous that they give birth before we can get there. And just the fact that Pharaoh even believed that, well, just kind of says a lot. But this was clearly the case with Jochebed. Because once she had given birth to a son, after hiding him herself for a while, she then hid him in a basket and released him into the River Nile in hope for his safety. Now, when I read these stories, and when you often do read stories in the Bible, you've kind of like, man, if these women had done this today, they'd be locked up for sure. Like, some of these people are crazy. Can you imagine going to the Swan River and there's just a woman releasing her child in a basket? Like, stay safe, I love you. You'd be like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? But these women are so desperate. Their love for their kids is just the forefront of their minds. It's like everything that they will do for them. And then so she put him down the river. And then who should find him but Pharaoh's daughter, who then actually recruited Jochebed to nurse him. The Pharaoh's daughter obviously didn't know that that was really Moses' mother. So good on Jochebed for getting in there. So because of her sacrifice, God paved the way for Moses to deliver God's people from the hand of Pharaoh. Jochebed shows us that the acts of a desperate mother can be sometimes intertwined with God's plan, with his blessing and his favor. And finally, the last mother I'd like to look at in the Bible is Mary. She can be found in the Gospels, and she is, of course, the mother of Jesus Christ. She was just a young woman. I think she was only meant to be kind of late teens or something. And she had an angel tell her that she was pregnant. She wasn't married. She'd never been with a man. So you can imagine her disbelief, kind of like, I don't think so. You might have got that wrong. She was told that this baby she was carrying was the Son of God and would do wonderful things here on earth. And the thing is, Mary actually lived in a time where you could be stoned for pregnancy out of wedlock. So she probably would have been really scared. So you can imagine the relief that she would have felt when she knew that the angel had also told her fiancé Joseph the same thing. So despite the controversy around her pregnancy, Joseph stayed with her and he raised Jesus as his own. And it was all well and good giving birth to the Son of God, but let's be real, this was still a baby. He still needed feeding and having his nappy changed. He was still growing up and needed discipline and all that kind of thing. But then I think it was Jesus. He was probably a pretty good kid. And as he grew up, he started kind of going and doing some of God's work. And Mary had to release him to do that. She knew that Jesus was not only her son, but he was the Son of God. She had to watch him become a man and go out on his own. And then as a mother, she had to watch her son be put to death on a cross. Jesus' followers and disciples, the crowd, they all leave. But a mother stays when the rest of the world turns their backs. Mary is a great look into real motherhood, a lot of excitement and joy, followed by years of hard work, but then moments of heartbreak and pain. But a mother stays through it all. So we've briefly looked at these six women as mothers in the Bible. Eve, who is the original mother, also the first mother whose child was a murderer and the first mother who had to bury her own child. Sarah, who thought she was barren and instead of trusting God's promise to her, decided to kind of take things into her own hands. Rebecca, who schemed a manipulative plot to bring favor upon her most favorite son. Bathsheba, who shows us that no matter how your child is conceived or what they're born into, God can bring redemption. Jochebed, who gave up her son so that he might live and become the one to deliver her people from slavery. And Mary, the mother of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who had to raise a child as her own only to see him taken away from her, who humbly placed her life into the hands of God and willingly played her part in restoring humanity back to himself. It's funny because some of these women are barely mentioned in the Bible. You know, it's like a couple of verses and that's it. That's all you hear about them. And then some of them are central parts in their story. These women are all mothers who have one thing in common. They don't always do the right thing, but their love that they have for their children is raw and it's the priority in their lives. These women show that the mother love is fierce and it's headstrong. The mother love will cause a woman to sacrifice what is closest to her heart, even if that means herself, in order to protect her child. The mother love is stubborn and sometimes causes blindness to the truth that's in front of us and to the path that God has laid out. But despite all of this, the mother love is pure, and it is undeniable evidence of God's incredible love for his children, for us. You know, none of these six women from the Bible are the Proverbs 31 woman, and yet you can see aspects of her in each of them. Maybe you relate to one of these women and then you look at the Proverbs 31 woman and you see how far away you are from her. For each of these women, though, there are details of their story that I feel are relatable to us today, whether it be their weakness in a certain area of sin, the loss of a child or dealing with a troublesome child, having to give a child up, struggling to conceive children, or even conceiving and giving birth to a child under horrible circumstances. I find these women relatable purely for the fact that they're just ordinary women. They're just trying to do the best that they can with what they've got, all for the sacrificial love that they have for their kids. And it kind of makes me breathe a sigh of relief that women have been making mistakes as wives and as mothers for so much longer than I have. And then there's this Proverbs 31 woman. I like to call her the unicorn in the room. The woman that I think a lot of us admire and we kind of aspire to be, but almost hate at the same time, because she's been used against us. She's been used almost against women at times. And the thing is, despite which of these women you or I relate to the most, Jesus is the one who enables us. He empowers us and equips us to be the kind of woman that he created us to be. So a couple of weeks ago, I was having a bit of an unorganized day. I was far from being the Proverbs 31 woman. And I walked into my house and my kitchen was just a mess. There were dishes everywhere and crumbs on the bench and on the floor. And I was like, I've got to clean this. I can't handle it. I really like my house to be a certain way. I'm a little bit particular like that. And anyway, I was getting frustrated and Ben, my husband, was like, just come and sit with me, baby. Just come and sit and talk. And I was like, no, like I need to clean, I need to do this and then I'll come and sit and talk. I don't know if any other women are the same. You want to get everything done and then you relax. Whereas he's like, just come relax. I'm like, no, I need to get this done. And I'm getting annoyed and I'm arguing. Basically, I was arguing. Ben wasn't really. He was being great. And then he said to me, babe, Jesus can do your dishes. You can imagine my response in this. I was just like, Ben, he cannot. He cannot do my dishes. And he's like, no, babe, Jesus can do your dishes. By this point, I'm kind of mocking him. And I'm just like, no, babe, Jesus isn't going to come into my house. He's not just going to rock up. Oh, hey, Jesus, like, what are you doing here? He comes in and starts doing my dishes. It's not going to happen. He's got plenty of other problems in the world to worry about other than my dishes and how I'm feeling about my dishes not being done. And then Ben said to me, babe, don't you think that God actually cares? Don't you think he cares that you're frustrated right now about this and this is bothering you? Like, don't you think he cares about these little things in your life? He can come into our house and do our dishes. And in that moment, it just made me stop and realize God actually does care about those little things. And I think that's something we so quickly forget in our busy lives. And Ben said to me, our dishes get done for us like twice a week without us even asking anyone. Don't you think that's God kind of providing a way for our dishes to be done? And it stopped me in my moment of venting and frustration that God could actually manifest himself and come into my house and do my dishes if he wanted to. He has the complete power and authority to do that. And I'm like, no, he wouldn't. Why would he do that when he's got to like heal people and raise people from the dead and, you know, all of that crazy stuff. But he could actually do that if he wanted to. But you know what he also does? He also uses people as his hands and his feet to minister to those around them. You know, he uses us to be his hands and his feet so that we can bless those around us. And it's in that moment that I'm like, Jesus could actually come and do my dishes. Like that's a truth. He could actually do that. You know, motherhood, it can be this overwhelming gig, a job that you feel completely underqualified for. there's no training, there's no induction, there's no handbook that, you know, if something goes wrong, you go to there for the answer. There is no holiday or sick leave. It's like 24/7 full-time job. And sometimes you can feel like you are waist deep in and there is no one around to pull you out. So when someone talks about this perfect Proverbs 31 woman, it can be like, oh, here we go again. Someone else telling us the kind of woman that we should be. You know, this incredible super mom who does everything right. But I really feel like today God would say to us that you don't actually have to do anything. Jesus is the one that strengthens our weaknesses. As women and as mums, we can often find ourselves in a place of doing and giving everything all the time to people around us. And we kind of think, who's going to be this person for me? Who's going to do this for me? The answer is Jesus. You know, we love our kids with this fierce mother love, but God has even more of that love for us, for you. And that now that I'm a mum, there are moments where I look at my daughter and I just feel completely overwhelmed by the love that I have for her. And I remember having one of these moments as I checked on her while she was sleeping, and it's like I was almost in this state of awe. Like, wow, I just did not know that I could love someone this much. I didn't. It's a completely different kind of love than I've ever experienced. And then I had this thought, this must be how God looks at us. It must be. The love a mother has for her child is just a glimpse, church. It is just a glimpse of the incredibly deep and expansive love that God has for each of us as his kids. You know, when we allow ourselves to stop, to leave the dishes, to leave the laundry, to take even just 5 minutes in the quiet place of God's presence, it's his love for us that gives us the strength and the power to keep going. God's love equips us to be the mothers and wives of Proverbs 31. He already sees us that way. He just asks that we come and we open up our hearts to him so that his spirit can dwell in us and show us the way. To come in your imperfection with your messy house or your cluttered mind, to come with your struggles and your frustrations, and to actually allow him to do your dishes for you. There's a verse in Psalm 139, it's verses 7 to 10, sorry. It says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." I love that because it means wherever you are at, God comes and meets you where you're at. You can't hide from him. Wherever you go in your life, God is there. His presence is there to lift us up and to strengthen us and to hold him, with his right hand. So if I can just get the worship team up now, please, that would be great. You know, maybe Mother's Day for you is just another day that you have to kind of do everything yourself as you normally do. It's kind of this non-event in your life. Or maybe Mother's Day for you is amazing. Your family spoil you and you feel blessed and loved on. Maybe Mother's Day is just another reminder of a loved one that you've lost or a family that you haven't been able to have. Whatever Mother's Day is for you, though, know in this moment that Jesus is enough. Know that Jesus makes you enough. Maybe your motherhood journey has been tough and you feel like you've just been missing that mark again and again. The thought of another day just seems too much, just too overwhelming. Or maybe you've been doing okay. You know, your kids are doing great. You're the top of your game. But maybe you're just that little bit lonely in your world as wife and mum. So whatever your scenario is today, know that when you actually allow yourself to be filled with God's love and be led by his spirit, you are the perfect woman that he created you to be. Today is a day about mums, but I actually feel like it's a day about women. It's not just a day about mums, because I feel like as women, we naturally mother It's just instinctual for us. Whether we have physical children or natural children, we get around other women and other young women and kids and we mother. So whether you're a mum in the natural or in the spiritual, this day is for you. So this morning we really wanted to create a little bit of space for you, I guess. So we want to come to, again, a time of worship, but we really wanted to open up the altar this morning for all women. And I've got a team of women that would love to pray for you. Whatever space you're in this moment, we would love to pray and lay hands on you and anoint you and bless you to go out into your tomorrow as the woman that God created you to be today. As the woman that He gives you the strength to keep going. He's the one that empowers you to keep going and to keep your eyes fixed on Him and allow Him to do your dishes for you. So we're just going to come to this place of worship, and as I said, you know, I would love for all women to come up, but whatever you feel comfortable with is fine. We do have a team of women that I've asked to pray this morning, and we would just love to come around you and pray for you and allow God to meet you in this moment, because He meets you where you're at. It doesn't matter what emotional space or headspace you're in, He meets you where you're at. So I just want to invite you all to stand, and as we sing, please feel free to come down the front. We would love to pray and bless you and anoint you.